money that belongs to this here fatherless boy. If none of the rest of you dare, Jim and I dare. Isn't that right, Jim?
Yes, Ma.
Back we will go. You hear? Back the way we came, and small thanks to you big, hulking, chicken-hearted man. We'll have that old rascal's sea chest open if we die for it. Hey, Jim?
Yes, die for it.
Come on, Jim.
Even then, not a man would go along with us.
Here, missus! Catch!
All they would do was to toss us a loaded pistol lest we were attacked, and to promise to have horses ready saddled in case we were pursued on our return, while one lad was to ride forward to the doctor's in search of armed assistance. My heart was beating finely when we two set forth in the cold night upon this dangerous venture. A full moon was beginning to rise and peered redly through the upper edges of the fog, and this increased our haste, for it was plain, before we came forth again, that all would be as bright as day, and our departure exposed to the eyes of any watchers. We slipped along the hedges, noiseless and swift, nor did we see or hear anything to increase our terrors, till, to our relief, the door of the Admiral Benbow had closed behind us.
In you go, Jim. You first.
First?
You're the man.
Yes. Suppose I am.
We stood and panted for a moment in the dark, alone in the house with the dead captain's body. Then my mother got a candle in the bar, and holding each other's hands, we advanced into the parlour. He lay as we had left him, on his back, with his eyes open and one arm stretched out.
Draw down the blind, Jim.
The blind?
In case they come on watch outside.
Oh.
Good lad. And when the blind's down, we have to get the key off that. And who's to touch it, I should like to know.
I'll do it, Ma.
Good lad. Well, there is.
I know where he is, Ma. Here, bring the candle over.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Here, closer.
Closer, yes. Closer. Oh, my. He wasn't the prettiest picture when we were alive, but dying like he did hasn't done nothing for the look of him.
Well, it wouldn't, would it, seeing as how he died of sheer wild fright. Hold on. The candle, closer.
What's that he's got there?
Paper. Just a bit of crumpled paper with one side of it. Of course.
Of course?
Here, drawn on one side of it, a black spot. And on the other, look, writing. You have till 10 tonight. What's the time?
Just after 6, thank heaven. Now, we've got to find that key. The key to his sea chest upstairs.
Yes.
Well, search him?
Yes. Search... search.
Well, Jim, well.
Wait.
Deeper, reach deeper.
Wait. Here. Coins. Thimble. Thread.
Oh! Jim!
Needle. Big needle. Let me see. Ooh. Pigtail tobacco, all chewed at one end. His knife, here with the crooked handle. Pocket compass. Tinderbox.
Anything else, Jim?
I'm looking.
No key.
No.
Perhaps it's round its neck.
His neck.
Well, have a look.
His shirt.
Well, tear it open. Go on.
Yes. Tear it open.
What's that there?
Tarry bit of string with...
There! The end of it!
The key!
Cut it off!
With...
With the knife!
Oh, yes. Yeah, there.
Good. Now give it here. And let's go upstairs.
Yeah. There it is. Where it's lain since the day he got here. Bee burned right into the top of it. I wonder if Billy Bones was his real name.
Never mind his name, let's just get the bloody den open. There. Now, help me get it open.
Careful.
Tobacco and tar. What do you expect? Let's get looking. Fine suit of clothes. Never been worn, look at things. Now, what's all this down there?
Quadrant, tin canakin.
Oh, well, more of that awful tobacco.
Pistols.
Bar silver, is that?
Old watch. The Spanish, looks like. Compasses and...
What's that?
Seashells. A few big fancy seashells. Why was he carrying those around? Man like that, carrying around seashells.
Well, I could care less about his wretched seashells. What's that down there?
Looks like a big old worn-out boat cloak.
Well, let me get hold of it.
Careful.
What was that?
Don't know. Some kind of bundle tied up with oilcloth. Papers, maybe?
No, no, no. The other thing. The bag. You hear the sound it made? Sounded like... Like... Yes. Gold. Not much of it, but maybe just enough. I'll show those rogues that I'm an honest woman. I'll have my dues, and not farthing over. Here, hold this other bag. Oh, honestly, what a funny assortment of coins.
Like doubloons, Ma. Doubloons and them French things, like Louis d'Ors, I think they're called. Pieces of eight and... Here, guineas.
Well, it's only the guineas your poor mother can make any sense of. I wish there was more of them. Hold that bag steady while I at least try and count.
Ma.
Steady, I said.
Ma.
What?
Outside.
Hey.
Listen.
What?
I think it's the blind man tapping with his stick down by the inn door. The door, Ma. Did you bolt it after you on the way in?
Of course I did. What kind of careless mother do you think you got? There's some strange characters around.
I noticed.
James Hawkins, your mother is neither a fool nor a thief. I mean to take exactly as much money as I'm due. Not a fraction more nor less. Besides, it can't yet be seven. And didn't that note say... Second thoughts, I think I'll just take what I've got.
And I'll take this oilskin packet to even the count.
Let's just get downstairs and get out of here.
We're almost there, Ma. Keep up.
I'm doing my best. You just get on with unfastening the bolt on that door and...
All right, the three of you. Down with the door. Now! Aye, aye, sir!
Oh, no. No!
Back upstairs. Quick, quick!
In! Quick! Find Bill alive or dead. Find him!
Bring a light. The lantern, there's something over here. Look! Look!
Is it him? Him, is it? Where are you, Bill? You know you can't hide from old Pew.
He's right here!
What? What? Leap me over. Quick!
He's not going nowhere. He's dead.
Dead?
I see no one deader.
Where? Where?
Here. Flat on the floor.
Oh, let me have a sniff. Make sure the old thief isn't playing any more of his tricks. That you there, Bill? By God, you stink of fear still. Too fearful to last out your allotted time, eh? You always were too gutless for our line of work. Not like old Pew. Old Pew came out of the sea at the dawn of time, and he'll still be sniffing at dead men when the seas run dry. I've sniffed you enough. Search him! The rest of you, get aloft and find that chest!
Right,
up this way, boy! Stairs are right here!
They're coming. Jim!
I know. Quick. Hide in here. Quick!
Search the rooms. All of them!
Find the one above the sign. That's the one I've seen him at.
Through there. Check them two rooms.
Black Dog,
Let's take a look in here.
Jim, shh. They're searching every room.
Just stay here where it's darkest and do not move.
See anything, Black Dog?
Not a thing. So blessed dark in here.
What's that over there?
What? It's just a big old ugly wardrobe.
The other side of it, I mean.
Other side? Shadows.
Just shadows.
Well, get me a bloody light. A light, someone!
Hi! Black Dog!
What? A light!
I thought I saw...
Hey!
One of those shadows.
What?
I think I saw it.
Quick! All of you, along here, quick!
Come in, come on!
Oh, God.
Quick, Ma, this way.
What way?
The window.
Window?
We can climb down onto the outhouse roof.
Climb?
Yes, and drop to the yard.
Drop?
Quick, Ma, quick, before they come back.
Nothing. Nothing. Hold that light closer.
Help me through. Help me through. Where is it? Have you found it?
Found the chest, Pew, but someone's got to it before us. Turned it alone and aloft.
Turned it out? But is it there?
The money's here. Well, most of it anyway.
Oh, his miserable money. It can rot. What about Flint's fist?
Don't see it here nohow, Pew.
Maybe it's on Bill himself down below.
Nah, it's not on Bill. I all but overhauled him, stripped his carcass and damn near dug the marrow out of his bones. It's not on him!
Then where, Pew, where?
Wait! Wait! The folks here at the inn. That boy! I wish I had put his eyes out. They had that door down there bolted when I tried it. Bolted from the inside. Maybe they're still inside.
I thought I saw something, Pew.
Saw? Saw?
Along there, a shadow, moving.
You did nothing but tell me about it. We'll do something now. All of you, scatter and find them. Rout the house out, tear it apart, and then bring them to me. Move!
Come on, lads.
Find them!
On up for this.
I don't like this, Jim.
You don't have to like it. Just hang on tight to the ledge here until you're ready, and then...
And then?
Just let yourself drop to the roof below.
Drop? Are you sure?
Ma, you're hanging about 6 inches above it. Just let go of the ledge when you're ready, and you'll land there easy as anything.
When I'm ready.
Then I'll climb out after you, and...
When I'm ready.
I think you better be ready now, Ma. They're coming.
What?
Let go of the ledge, Ma. Drop, drop.
I can't.
Drop.
I can't. What?
Out of the way. I'm coming down now.
It was over in the corner, Pew. There's an old wardrobe. I saw a shadow move.
Quiet, quiet. All of you. Is that a draft? Old Pew feels on his face.
Windows open, Pew.
Get yourselves downstairs. Quick, downstairs!
Come.
Careful, Jim.
Oh!
Jim, you're right down there.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's not such a drop here. Jump down, I'll catch you.
Jim?
Quick, Ma, before...
Here he is!
Got you, boy.
Jim?
Get off!
Pew! Lads, I've got him. I've got him right here.
Get off me!
Get off, you boy. Not till I've cut your throat and got back Captain Flint's fist.
His fist?
Jim!
Oh! Ma!
Oh! Well, that wasn't so bad.
Oh. You landed on top of the great fat idiot. You couldn't have had us off the landing.
Oh. You out there, Charlie?
Oh, you can't flatten them all. Let's go.
Help me up. Quick.
I'm glad you didn't drop on top of me.
Show your poor mother a lot of respect.
I will, when we've got the time. But first, the coast road. Let's go.
Where are they? Where are they? Tell me. Did you get them?
Oi, get up. What happened?
I had him. I had the boy in there. The other one dropped on me like a... bloody great bat!
Other one?
What other one? I don't know. Hit me so sudden. But I'd think twice before going up against him again.
You miserable mud-licking toad!
No!
Is there a single man amongst you fit for catching that miserable boy? Oh!
Don't kill him, Pew! Don't kill him!
Who amongst you's worth the trouble of killing? Go, all of you.
Show me you're worth something. Find that boy and find Flint's fist with him. Go!
Hurry, this way!
Down here, Ma. Quick. Under the bridge. Hide.
Oh, yes. I've not had enough muck and humiliation tonight already.
Just get in here, in the shadows, under the arch.
Under the arch? Into the water, you mean?
It's just a stream. It's shallow. Now, please, be quiet.
This way. They went this way.
Where? Where?
I saw them over by the bridge here.
Bridge. To the bridge.
Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Oh, God. Oh, God, they're right above us.
Quiet. Shh.
Any sign of the boys? Any glimpse?
Hard to see. Mist's closing in again. Let's get across this bridge. Look among them rocks over there.
Come on, all of you!
Wait! Wait!
Pew?
Quiet, all of you. Stand still.
Pew, the rocks over there...
Quiet! Who says they've got as far as that?
Eh?
Hush! I'm only a blind old man, but I can scent and sound out a quarry I fancy better than you band of great galumping oafs. The bridge here. What's underneath?
Underneath? Just the stream going over the rocks feeding down to the sea.
And?
Just the arch of the bridge itself.
Dark down there, is it?
Dark? Everything's dark, Pew.
Oh, shiver my soul. If I had eyes.
You there! Be my eyes! Take a look, down there, under the...
What? Oi, listen!
That's Dirk again.
Twice? We'll have to budge Pew.
What? What?
You'd be as rich as kings if you could find what we're after. And you know how close it is.
Hang it, Pew. We've got the doubloons.
Doubloons? Doubloons? Oh, we're after more than that.
I'm not after getting hung, Pew.
Oh, no. Of course you're not.
You'll relish any wealth that doesn't require you risking a single bristle on your chin. There wasn't one of you who dared face Bill, but I did. A blind man. And I'm to lose my chance for you? I'm to be a poor crawling beggar sponging for rum when I might be rolling in a coach. If you had the pluck, any of you, of a weevil in a biscuit, you would catch them still.
Even if we caught them, they might have already hid the blessed thing. Take the George's pew and don't stand here squalling.
Squalling, am I? I'll show you squalling with the end of my stick.
You!
What? Dogs you are, the lot of you. Old blind Pew was the only man amongst you.
Pew! No! God. Pew! Pew, listen!
What?
Hawk, Pew, listen!
Horses, Pew! Coming this way!
That's it, Pew. It's Dirk. Final signal, we've got to go!
Oh, no! The boy's near here, I know it!
Not near enough! I'm off!
No, no! Stay!
Quickly!
Stay, the lot of you! Johnny! Black Dog! Dirk! You won't leave old Pew, mates! Not old Pew! Come back! There they go, after them.
So, they have left me. Left a poor old blind man thinking, what? I'd be helpless. Oh, I'm not helpless. Pew was old and fierce when the sea was young. No blinder now than a shark in the blackest depths. You come for me, have you? Be warned. Pew could bite the highest in the land clean out of the saddle. Come! Try me!
You there! Look out!
The name is Pew!
Stop! Whoa, whoa, stop there, all of you! Keep clear. Let me get a look at... Dead. Dead as he had a mind to be.
Dr. Lidsley? Is that you?
That you, Jim, down there?
Is it him, Jim? The doctor?
It is, Ma.
Oh, I could use a doctor. Oh, Ma.
Gentlemen, dismount and hold them up.
I soon saw what they were. One, tailing out behind the rest, was a lad that had gone from the hamlet to Dr. Livesey's. To that circumstance, my mother and I owed our rescue. Pew was dead. Stone dead. As for my mother... When we had carried her up to the hamlet, a little cold water and salt soon brought her back again, and she was none the worse for her terror, though still deploring the balance of the money. In the meantime, the doctor rode on as fast as he could to Kit's Hole, but his men had to dismount and grope down the dingle, leading and sometimes supporting their horses, and in continual fear of ambushes. So it was no great matter for surprise that when they got down to the hole, the lugger was already underway, though still close in.
There's their ship. Take aim. You out there, you aboard. As magistrate, I command you to lower your sails and surrender yourselves. Watch out, men. Keep down.
That's a warning shot. Keep out of the moonlight. Before the next bit of lead, find something hotter and softer than them rocks.
Soon after, the lugger doubled the point and disappeared. We went back with the doctor to the Admiral Benbow. You cannot imagine a house in such a state of smash. The very clock had been thrown down by these fellows in their furious hunt after my mother and myself. And though nothing had actually been taken away except for the captain's money bag and a little silver from the till, I could see at once that we were ruined.
They got the money, you say? Well then, Jim, what in fortune were they after? More money?
No, sir, not money, I think. In fact, sir, I believe I have the thing in my breast pocket.
Oh, yes?
Here. And to tell you the truth, Doctor, I should like to get it put in safety.
Indeed. Yet our current surroundings don't, as they stand, lend themselves to relaxed study. Or even from the look of things, boast a door one could lock. I tell you what, Jim. The summons to action you sent reached me en route to dinner with Squire Trelawney. Having worked up still more of an appetite, I suggest we ride there now. The most fortified house hereabouts, after all, and inhabited by an authority more considerable than my own. You can tell your story and warm the chill from your bones by way of the best-stocked kitchen between here and Bristol.
Mother?
No, don't you worry about me. Your poor old mother's got enough to be going on with just tidying this place up. Make a start of it, at any rate.
Work better left to a woman, eh, Jim? Come. You can saddle up with Dogger back there.
Yes, yes, go on. It's men's work to make a mess in the world and women's work to clean it up and weep at the wage they get for it. Go on. Take care of my boy.
As soon as I was mounted, holding on to Dogger's belt, the doctor gave the word.
Onwards!
And the party struck up at a bouncing trot. Soon we were heading up the long, leafless, moonlit avenue to where the white line of the Squire's Hall surveyed great old gardens. Here Dr. Livesey dismounted, and taking me along with him, was admitted at a word into the house. The servant led us down a matted passage and showed us at the end into a great library, all lined with bookcases and busts upon the top of them, where the Squire sat, pipe in hand before a bright fire.
Ah, there you are, Livesey. Hang it all, you're a damned tardy dinner companion.
Well, not without a good excuse, Trelawney, tonight at least.
Oh, I'm all attention.
I'd recommend your being all attention for the story this lad here has to tell.
Lad? Who on earth is...
You're not, I appreciate, a regular frequenter of the Admiral Benbow.
The Admiral Benbow? That haunt of drunkard sea dogs and the occasional superannuated privateer.
On which latter subject, why don't you and I and young Jim Hawkins here, son of the late landlord and hero of the hour, retire to your dining room for that delayed supper? Jim not only has a tale to tell, but some solid evidence, I'd venture, of how significant a tale it might prove to be. 2 men at least have died tonight over what he's carrying with him. Is that not so, Jim?
It is, sir.
Well, that whets my appetite, certainly. Redruth, let's get that dinner served.
Dinner, sir? It's cold and shriveled as January seaweed, but you're welcome to it.
Oh, serve the meal, man, and shut up.
Over that so late supper, I told my story, and you should have seen how the two gentlemen leaned forward and looked at each other, and forgot, for the most part, to eat or drink. The half-eaten plates had been cleared, and pipes lit by the time I had finished.
This lad Hawkins is a trump, don't you think, Livesey?
Hence my bringing him here. Have you heard of this Captain Flint?
Heard of him? The bloodthirstiest buccaneer that ever sailed. Blackbeard, a child to Flint. The Spaniards were so afraid of him that I tell you, sir, I was occasionally proud he was an Englishman. Why, I've seen his topsails with these eyes off Trinidad, and the cowardly son of a rum puncheon that I was sailing with put back, sir, into port of Spain.
Well, I've heard of him myself, but the question is, had he money?
Money? What were these villains after but money? For what would they risk their rascal carcasses but money?
That we shall soon know. Jim, I think it's time we took a closer look at that thing they were after.
Indeed. Where is it?
Here, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Curious object, all wrapped up in oilskin. Now, if what lies within this oilskin should prove a clue to where Flint buried his treasure, might that treasure, do you think, amount to much?
Much, sir? It will amount to this. If we have the clue you talk about, why, I'll fit out a ship in Bristol Dock and we'll have that treasure if we search a year.
Then what's to be done but open the packet? Now, I'm going to need the help of my instrument case. Thank you, Jim. Stitched together with, what I take for, seal gut. These scissors can cut through human gut, so they ought to be, yes.
Ah, what is it, Livesey?
It's a book and some kind of sealed paper. Shall we take a look at the book first?
Whatever. Just get it done, man. Let me see.
It's a notebook, full of odd scribblings. Seen this one before, haven't we, Jim? Tattooed on the fellow's arm.
Billy Bones, his fancy.
Then here. Mr. W. Bones, mate, and, no more rum. Well, he didn't abide by that one, did he, Jim?
No, he did not.
Off Palm Key he got it. Who got it? And what it was, one is left to ponder.
Knife in the back, as like as not.
Perhaps. Next few pages, dates. Sum of money, crosses between the two. 12th of June, 1745, for instance. A sum of £70 seems due to someone. Nothing but six crosses to explain the cause. Here, look. Attached to one sum, off Caracas. And to this one, a latitude and longitude.
Let me see. Look at these dates, Livesey. These entries cover damn near 20 years.
Quite. And as the years go on, observe more and more dates.
Until... here.
Yes, indeed. A grand total inscribed, Bones his pile.
The thing is as clear as noonday. This is the Black-Hearted Hound's account book. These crosses stand for the names of ships or towns that they sank or plundered.
You think so?
Yes. The sums are the scoundrel's share. And where he feared an ambiguity, you see, he added something clearer. Off Caracas. Here was some unhappy vessel boarded off that coast. God help the poor souls that manned her.
If that's so, then see, the amounts increased as he rose in rank. And look here, at the back, a table for reducing French, English and Spanish monies to a common value. Thrifty fellow, not one to be cheated.
So, we've seen the book. Let's see that sealed paper. Quick, man, quick.
Sealed in several places. Looks like he used a thimble for a seal.
We found a thimble on him.
Did you indeed? Well, let's break those seals, carefully if we can. Whoops.
What is it, man? What is it?
A moment, please.
A map, sir.
Yes, Jim, a map.
A map of what?
Of an island.
Let me see.
Don't tear it, for heaven's sake.
Latitude, longitude, soundings, names of hills, bays, inlets, why every particular needed to bring a ship to safe anchorage.
What do you make to the scale? 9, 10 miles long, 5 across?
It looks like a great fat dragon standing up.
Yes, I suppose it does.
Why, it has 2 fine landlocked harbours.
And what's the marking for that hill in the centre? The spyglass.
3 crosses of red ink. two to the north, one here in the southwest. And next to that one, see, written in the same red ink?
A neater hand than the dead man's.
Bulk of treasure here. Livesey.
Let's turn it over. See if there's anything.
And there is.
They've certainly got through some quantity of that red ink. Here, let's get it flat. Now, what does it say?
Tall tree, spyglass shoulder bearing a point to the north of north-northeast.
Skeleton island, east, south-east, and by east, 10 feet.
The bar silver is in the north cache. You can find it by the trend of the east hummock, 10 fathoms south of the black crag with the face on it. The arms are easily found in the sandhill, north point of north inlet cape bearing east of the quarter north.
Signed.
J.F.
Livesey.
Yes.
You will abandon your wretched practice at once.
I will.
Attending to the chilblains of fishwives, of course you will. Tomorrow, I start for Bristol. In 3 weeks' time, 3 weeks, no, 2 weeks, 10 days even, we'll have the best ship, sir, and the choicest crew in England. You, Livesey, are ship's doctor. I am admiral.
Naturally.
We'll take my men, Redruth, Joyce, and Hunter. We'll have favourable winds, a quick passage, and not the least difficulty in finding the spot, not with that map. And then, oh, money to eat, to roll in, to play duck and drake with forever after.
Yes, as simple as that.
It's all set out for us, there, in red ink. Could it be simpler?
I suppose not, when surveyed from the comfort of your dining room.
Damn it, man! Have you no sense of adventure?
I eke out a living on a wild coast by a wild sea when I could be sitting with my feet up in Harley Street. Of course I have a sense of adventure. And of course I'll come with you, come what may.
Good man!
And what about me, sir?
Jim?
I'm the one that's faced these pirates already and got hold of that map in the first place.
You and your mother?
She wouldn't go on a sea voyage, sir. No legs for it in a tavern to run.
While you're a young man with the scent of salt in your nostrils and a twitch towards the bright, broad horizon, eh?
Something like that, sir.
Then consider yourself our cabin boy. He'll make a famous cabin boy, won't he, Doctor?
Downright credit to the undertaking, I dare say. So long as his mother lets him go.
I'll speak to her.
If you've the nerve to do that, then I don't doubt you've the nerve to hunt for treasure in southern seas.
Then we're set.
Almost.
Almost.
There's one man in our crew I'm wary of.
Name the dog, sir. Name the dog.
You, Trelawney.
Me?
Indeed. For you cannot hold your tongue.
Well,
Bear in mind, we are not the only men who know of this paper. There's those fellows who attacked the inn tonight and the rest who stayed aboard that lugger. And more, I dare say, not far off. And all of them, through thick and thin, bound that they'll get that money. We must none of us go alone till we get to the sea. Jim and I shall stick together. You'll take Joyce and Hunter when you ride to Bristol. And from first to last, not one of us must breathe a word of what we've found.
Livesey, you are always in the right of it. I'll be as silent as the grave.
Let's, none of us wind up quite that silent.
But Mr. Blandley, having a ship, and a fine ship at that, is all very well. But unless I have a crew to man her, what is she but so much dead wood in the water?
Why, Squire, I have found you a few men.
Barely half a dozen, Blandley, and I seek a round score of men, at the very least.
I am trying my utmost, and shall redouble my efforts, be sure. But
then
you can...
do so. Now, find me a crew.
Sir.
Honestly. All that treasure lying waiting, and I haven't a crew to get me out of Bristol Dock.
Oh, well. Nothing to do for it but get a good lunch.
The chop house, I think.
Yes, the chop.
The house. Hello?
You're looking for crew, sir, I hear.
You have sharp ears, sir.
Oh, word gets round Bristol Dock faster than a cold breeze. If you're looking for crew, sir, look no further.
No further than you? With one leg and a crutch?
Crutch is oak, sir. Man leaning on it is harder still. You get me, sir. All the crew you need comes with me.
Oh, yes?
Better crew, I dare say, than Blandley there can provide.
Perhaps we ought to have a spot of lunch together, Mr.
Silver, sir. The name's John Silver.
It was longer than the squire imagined ere we were ready for the sea. The doctor had to go to London for a physician to take charge of his practice. The squire was hard at work at Bristol, and I lived on at the hall under the charge of old Redruth, the gamekeeper. Almost a prisoner, but full of sea dreams and the most charming anticipation of strange islands and adventures. Sitting by the fire in the housekeeper's room, I approached that island in my fancy from every possible direction. I explored every acre of its surface. I climbed 1,000 times to that tall hill they call the Spyglass, and from the top enjoyed the most wonderful and changing prospects. Sometimes the isle was thick with savages with whom we fought, sometimes full of dangerous animals that hunted us. But in all my fancies, nothing occurred to me so strange and tragic as our actual adventures. So the weeks passed on, till one fine day there came a letter addressed to Dr. Livesey with this addition: to be opened, in the case of his absence, by Tom Redruth or young Hawkins.
Tom Redruth. You better open it, Tom.
What, me? Haven't I got enough to be doing, cleaning the squire's guns and feeding his pheasants? I can't read that fancy handwriting of his. Print gets my head aching.
Well, give it to me, then.
If he's given up on that blessed idea of dragging us all to the South Seas, it'll be the best news I've heard in a long time.
I don't think that's his news. Old Anchor Inn, Bristol, March the 1st. Dear Livesey, as I do not know whether you are at the hall or still in London...
I send this in double to both places. The ship is bought and fitted. She lies at anchor, ready for sea. You never imagined a sweeter schooner. A child might sail her. 200 tons, name Hispaniola. I got her through my old friend Blandley, who has proved himself throughout the most surprising trump. The admirable fellow literally slaved in my interest, and so, I may say, did everyone in Bristol, as soon as they got wind of the port we sailed for. Treasure, I mean.
Dr. Livesey won't like that. The squire's been talking, after all.
Well, who's the better, right? Talking? That's what squire's good for, talking and shooting.
Blandley himself found the Hispaniola, and for the merest trifle. There is a class of men in Bristol monstrously prejudiced against Blandley. They go the length of declaring that this honest creature would do anything for money, that the Hispaniola belonged to him, and that he sold it me absurdly high. The most transparent calumnies. None of them dare, however, to deny the merits of the ship. It was the crew that troubled me. I wished a round score of men, in case of natives, buccaneers, or the French, and I had the worry of the deuce itself to find so much as 6 till the most remarkable stroke of fortune brought me the very man that I required. I was standing on the dock when, by the merest accident, I fell in talk with him. I found he was an old sailor, kept a public house, knew all the seafaring men in Bristol, had lost his health ashore, and wanted a good berth as cook to get to sea again. He had hobbled down there that morning, he said, to get a smell of the salt. I was monstrously touched, and, out of pure pity, I engaged him on the spot to be ship's cook. Long John Silver, he is called, and has lost a leg, but that I regarded as a recommendation, since he lost it in his country's service under the immortal Hawk. He has no pension, Livesey. Imagine the abominable age we live in. Well, sir, I thought I had only found a cook, but it was a crew I had discovered. Between Silver and myself, we got together in a few days a company of the toughest old salts imaginable. Not pretty to look at, but fellows by their faces of the most indomitable spirit. Long John even got rid of 2 out of the 6 or 7 I had already engaged. He showed me in a moment that they were just the sort of freshwater swabs we had to fear in an adventure of importance. I am in the most magnificent health and spirits, yet I shall not enjoy a moment till I hear my old tarpaulins tramping round the capstan. Seaward ho! Hang the treasure! It's the glory of the sea that has turned my head! Let young Hawkins go at once to see his mother with Redruth for a guard, and then both come full speed to Bristol. Postscript. I did not tell you that Blandy had found an admirable fellow for sailing master. A stiff man, which I regret, but in all other respects, a treasure. So, things shall go man-o-war fashion aboard the good ship Hispaniola. P.P.S. Hawkins may stay one night with his mother.
That's it. He's got his boat. No getting out of it now. Not for neither of us. I'm struck seasick already. And by heaven, young Jim, you look worse than I feel. What's up? I thought you were as keen as a seal pup for the high seas.
What? Oh, I was just thinking.
Thinking? I wouldn't do too much of that. Never got me nowhere.
Mother.
Toby? Toby, you swept that floor yet? Eh? Well, get it swept. Got my hands full out here, hanging all these sheets. Nobody would do it but me. Toby? Toby, that you? That...
It's me, Ma.
So it is. I am honoured. How's life up at the hall?
It's all right.
A treat after here, I'm sure.
Squire says he paid for this whole place to be repaired, repainted.
So he did. Nice job he made. Even bought me a big new armchair for my tired old bones. Go inside. Take a look.
I can't stay, Ma.
I didn't think you would.
I'm going to see.
So I've heard. All them wasted hours dreaming weren't wasted after all.
Not if I go, they won't be.
And you're going. And you just came to tell me.
Yes.
In case my heart would break.
I don't want that.
It won't. It hasn't. Don't worry. The squire, you see it in there, sorted me out with a replacement for you. An apprentice. He came with the armchair.
I heard you calling him. He good?
Better than you. At the chores. Don't catch him dreaming all day staring out at the waves.
No.
The work gets done. The Admiral Benbow's got a whole new lease of life.
Has it?
It was in need of one after all that's happened, don't you think?
I suppose.
Yes, he's a good boy, the new boy. But he ain't my son.
No.
Don't go, Jim.
I have to go. I can't. I won't live like father. Locking myself tight between four walls to hide from the wide world that's right outside. Living and dying my whole life in that dark, the sea glittering a few steps away. The sea, it seems to me, Ma, is a beautiful thing, and I want to see myself upon it, far out upon it, out that way, or that.
You're just a boy, my boy. And beyond those waves, there's dangers, I know, dangers worse still than those we've been through, you and me, that night right here. And I don't want to lose my boy to those dangers, whatever dangers they might be. I've lost my man already, and I'd lose everything if I lost you.
Pa died of hiding from dangers his whole life long. And if I can get to the far side of them seas, face dangers I can call my own and find my way back, I won't be coming back as a boy.
Oh, no. Of course not. A man you'll be. A man among men. A man like any other man. Merciless over a woman's hurt.
What else is there for me to be from this moment on but a man?
Of course. You're right. Being a man. Being your mother, what can I do but embrace you and wish you well and pray for you to get back safe? And ache every day you're gone.
Ma.
Quiet. Just let me hold you. And shut out the sound of those waves for a moment. Jim.
The next day, after dinner, Redruth and I were on the road. I said goodbye to Mother, and to the cove where I had lived since I was born, and to the dear old Admiral Benbow. One of my last thoughts was of the captain, who had so often strode along the beach with his cocked hat, his sabre-cut cheek, and his old brass telescope. Next moment we had turned the corner, and my home was out of sight. The mail coach picked us up about dusk. I must have dozed a great deal, for when I was awakened at last, it was by a punch in the ribs. And I opened my eyes to find that we were standing still in a city street and that the day had already broken a long time.
Where are we?
Bristol, for better or worse. On we go.
Mr. Trelawney had taken up his residence at an inn far down the docks. Thither we had now to walk. And our way, to my great delight, lay along the quays and beside the great multitude of ships of all sizes and rigs and nations. In one, sailors were singing at their work. In another, there were men aloft, high over my head, hanging to threads that seemed no thicker than a spider's. Though I had lived by the shore all my life, I seemed never to have been near the sea till then. The smell of tar and salt was something new. I saw the most wonderful figureheads, and many old sailors, rings in their ears, whiskers curled in ringlets, with tarry pigtails and swaggering, clumsy sea walks. And if I had seen as many kings or archbishops, I could not have been more delighted. And I was going to sea myself, in a schooner, with a piping boatswain and pigtailed singing seamen, to sea, bound for an unknown island, and to seek for buried treasure.
There he is. Oh, goodness, Jim, get a look at him.
We had come in front of a large inn, and there met Squire Trelawney, all dressed out like a sea officer, in stout blue cloth with a smile on his face and a capital imitation of a sailor's walk.
Ah, here you are, shipmates. And the doctor came last night. Bravo, our ship's company complete.
Oh, sir, when do we sail?
Sail? We sail tomorrow. And meantime, cabin boy, you may start with your duties.
Sir?
By taking a message to one of your fellow crew members, an estimable old sea dog by the name of Long John Silver. Fellow runs a tavern here, name of the Spyglass. Now, follow the line of the docks back that way. Look for a sign in the shape of a brass telescope. You can't miss it. Here's the note.
Thank you, sir. I'll see it delivered.
And nor will you miss old Silver himself. He's the fellow with one leg.
One leg?
The Spyglass was a bright enough little place of entertainment. The sign was newly painted, the windows had neat red curtains, the floor was cleanly sanded. There was a street on each side and an open door on both, which made the large low room pretty clear to see in spite of clouds of tobacco smoke. The customers were mostly seafaring men, and they talked so loudly that I hung at the door, almost afraid to enter.
And so, says I may have one leg, but there's more of me below the waist than there will be of you in half a minute.
Well, you're a rogue, Jack.
A rogue? Why, when that fellow turned heel and ran, there was two fast legs under him, I'll vote for it. If that ain't what the good book calls mercy, I don't know what is.
You're a saint, Jack.
Now, that's more like it.
At a glance, I was sure this must be Long John. His left leg was cut off close by the hip, and under the left shoulder he carried a crutch, hopping about upon it like a bird. He was tall and strong, with a face as big as a ham, plain and pale, but intelligent and smiling. Indeed, he seemed in the most cheerful spirits.
Mr. Silver, sir?
By God, lads, take a look at this. These excise men get younger every day.
No, I'm not a...
No? Well, I'm John Silver. So who might you be?
I bring a letter. Here, from Squire Trelawney, at the Hispaniola.
And you must be our new cabin boy. Pleased to meet you, Master Hawkins. Here, shake my hand, shipmate.
Now, to tell you the truth, I had taken a fear in my mind that he might prove the very one-legged sailor whom I had watched for so long at the old Benbow. But one look at the man before me was enough. I had seen the captain, and Black Dog, and the blind man Pew, and I thought I knew what a buccaneer was like. A very different creature, according to me, from this clean and hearty landlord.
There! We're as good as joined at the hip. Are you old enough to take a drink at the bar?
Well, I...
Why, half the dogs in here went straight from their mother's breast to their first glug of rum. Is that not so, boys?
Yay! Go on, Blackie.
What's that?
Rum? I'll take another tot off you.
Wait. That man.
You hear me? I'll take it.
You.
You? I'll take that drink elsewhere.
Boy, don't spill me drink.
That man, stop him. It's Black Dog.
I don't care who covers who he is, but he's running out of my hostelry without paying his score. Harry, run and catch him. What did you say he was, lad? Black what?
Dog, sir. Has Squire Trelawney not told you of the buccaneers who raided the Admiral Benbow? Black Dog was one of them.
So? In my house? Ben, run and help Harry. One of those swabs, was he? Was that you drinking with him, Morgan? Stop rolling your quid and step up here now.
Jack?
Now, Morgan, you never clapped eyes on that black dog before, did you now?
But I, Jack.
By the powers, Ted Morgan, it's as good for you. If you'd been mixed up with the like of that, you would never have put another foot in my house. You may lay to that. Nor on this Hispaniola we're to sail on.
Oh, I swear to you, Jack.
And he was stood over there next to you. What was he drawing? Voyages, captains, ships? Pipe up, what was it?
Oh, he was talking keel hauling.
Keel hauling, was he? And a mighty suitable thing, too. And you may lay to that. Get back to your place for a lubber, Ted.
Whatever you say, Jack. Whatever you say.
Take it from me, lad. He's an honest man, Ted Morgan. At least as honest as he's stupid. And now, let's see. Black Dog, you say? No, I don't know the name. I kind of think of... Yes. I've seen the swab. He used to come here with a blind beggar.
A blind man? Why, I knew him too. His name was Pew.
Pew? Yes, that were his name. Ah, he looked a shark, he did. If we run down this Black Dog, there'll be news for Captain Trelawney. Ben's a good runner. You should chase him down, by the powers. He talked a keel all in, did he? I'll keel all him. Let's take a look outside. Hurry! Here we are. Any sign?
Lost him, Jack. Ah, slippery as an eel he was in the thick of these docks.
All right. Get inside and drink some breath back into you. See here now, Hawkins. Here's a blessed hard thing in me. This Captain Trelawney, what's he to think? Here I have this confounded son of a Dutchman sitting in my own house, drinking of my own rum. Here you comes and tells me of it, plain. And here I let him give us all the slip. Now, Hawkins, you do me justice with the Captain. You're a lad, but you're as smart as paint. What could I do with this old timber I hobble on? When I was an A.B. master mariner, I'd have broached that Black Dog in a brace of old shakes. But no.
I'll speak for you, sir.
You and me should get on well, Hawkins. But come now. Stand by to go about. Duty is duty. I'll put on my old cockerel hat and step along of you to Captain Trelawney and report this here affair.
On our walk along the quays, he made himself the most interesting companion, telling me about the different ships, their rig, tonnage, and nationality, explaining the work that was going forward, how one was discharging, another taking in cargo, and a third making ready for sea, and every now and then telling me some little anecdote of ships or seamen, or repeating a nautical phrase till I had learned it perfectly. I began to see that here was one of the best of possible shipmates. When we got to the inn, the squire and Dr. Livesey were seated together, finishing a quart of ale with a toast in it. Long John told the story from first to last with a great deal of spirit and the most perfect truth.
That was how it were, now weren't it, Hawkins?
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's a downright shame that Black Dog wasn't caught and put down like the rabid mongrel he is. What do you think, Livesey?
Well, I rather think that if our dog runs like a rabbit from sight of Jim here, neither we nor the crew Silver has assembled have very much to fear. and we'll have, before long, a fair quantity of seawater between ourselves and any trouble he can cause us.
I dare say you're right. All set with ship and crew, Silver?
Set to take them waves like a dolphin, sir.
Then I want all hands aboard by 4 this afternoon.
By 3, they'll be roosted like hawks in the rigging, sir.
Good man.
Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'd like to say goodbye to my wife.
Of course.
I'll see you all on board.
Indeed. Oh, Silver.
Sir?
Yo-ho!
Sir.
Ah. The man's a perfect trump.
Indeed, Squire. I don't put much faith in your discoveries as a general thing, but John Silver suits me.
I know of my own knowledge he has a banker's account, never overdrawn.
A man of substance.
So it seems. He'll be leaving his wife to run the inn. A woman of colour.
Yes?
A pair of old bachelors like you and I may be excused for guessing it is the wife quite as much as his health, which sends him back to sea roving.
Have you seen her, sir?
No, indeed. But one can imagine.
I imagine anything to do with Mr. Silver is likely as not quite wonderful.
Our boy seems quite smitten.
He needs some sea air. Shall we take him on board?
Indeed. Come, Hawkins, and we'll show you the ship.
Up you come, sirs. Up you come.
The Hispaniola lay some way out, and we went under the figureheads and round the sterns of many other ships, and their cables sometimes grated underneath our keel and sometimes swung above us. At last, however, we got alongside and were met and saluted as we stepped aboard by a brown old sailor with earrings in his ears and a squint.
Ah, there we go.
Why, Squire, you climbed that ladder like a sea dog born.
I could wish to climb. Not quite so steep.
Ah, you'll get used to it, sir. So long as you're not carrying too much treasure.
Trelawney! Have you been loquacious with the crew again?
Oh, don't you worry, Doctor. Old Arrow here hasn't got the faintest clue what you're talking about. But whatever it is, you can trust me to keep you upright in the water.
Yes, I hope so.
And this'll be our cabin, boy.
Yes. Thank you. Jim Hawkins.
And you can call me Arrow, young Jim. Arrow, for I fly straight.
Arrow, yes.
Are we all set, Mr. Arrow?
Almost, sir.
Almost? I hoped to hear better than that.
It's just Captain Smollett was asking to speak with you.
Oh, again. Drat the man.
Quiet!
There you are, Smollett.
You have duties in the forecastle, do you not, Mr. Arrow?
I do, sir.
Go get them done.
Sir.
Well, I have a word with the Squire.
Well, Captain Smollett, all well, I hope. All shipshape and seaworthy.
May I speak plain, sir?
You may.
I don't like this cruise, sir. I don't like the men, and nor do I like my officer.
Perhaps, sir, you don't like my ship.
I can't speak as to that, sir, not having seen her tried. She seems a clever craft, more I can't say.
Possibly, sir. You may not like your employer, either.
Well, sir, to be frank, I...
Let's focus on frankness, shall we? On the matters most pressing. You don't, you say, like this cruise. Now, why?
I was engaged, sir, on sealed orders to sail this ship for that gentleman where he should bid me. So far, so good. And now I find that every man before the mast knows more of what we're sailing after than I do. I don't call that fair now, do you?
No, Smollett, I don't.
Next, I learn we're going after treasure. Hear it from my own hands, mind you. Now, treasure is ticklish work. I don't like treasure voyages. And I don't like them above all when they're secret. And when, begging your pardon, Mr. Trelawney, the secret has been told to the parrot.
Silver's parrot?
It's a way of speaking, sir. Oh. Blab, I mean. It's my belief... Neither of you gentlemen know what you're about, but I'll tell you the odds the way I see them stacked. Life or death. The closer in either way.
Then you say you don't like the crew. Are they not good seamen?
I don't like them, sir. And I should have the choosing of my own hands.
And Mr. Arrow there seems a particular sore spot.
He's too free with the crew. Shouldn't drink with the man before the mast. He's altogether too familiar with them.
The long and short of it, Captain. Tell us what you want.
Are you still set to go on this cruise?
Set, sir? Like iron.
Then hear me for a few words more. They have put in the powder and the arms in the forehold. Now, there's a perfectly good place further back, under the cabin. Why not put them there? First point. Then, You're bringing four of your own people with you. And they tell me some of them are to be berthed forward. Why not give them the berths back